Good morning, friends in the Lord. Just drove out from Elmhurst this morning, and greetings to you from Elmhurst Christian Reformed Church, where I serve as one of the pastors. I'm not a big runner. I'm glad to see there's so many others who are not big runners running the Chicago Marathon today. Instead, we have, running is great, don't get me wrong, but it is a good day to worship, a beautiful day to worship, and it's my pleasure and joy to be able to share with you a few short verses from the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And I've been going to church a long time, and there are a few things in these verses that have surprised me very much recently. It's a scene in which there's Jesus, his disciples, and a crowd of people gathered around. And Luke 18, verse 15 reads this way. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. So like I said, I grew up in church, have heard most of the Bible stories since I was Sunday school. For some of you, maybe that's true. For some of you, maybe this is the first time hearing this story. And if it's your first time, this is a great thing. When I've heard the story, I've always imagined what in this crowd people are bringing children to Jesus, and maybe they're first graders, maybe they're kindergarten age, maybe they're preschoolers or toddlers. But did you notice the word in the scripture? Do we have this on the screen? Maybe not. It says people were bringing, say it with me, church, babies. So there is a word in the language of the Bible, the Greek language, specifically for babies and unborn children, and this is the word, okay? It is not big kids, it's not little kids, it's not even toddlers. People are bringing infants, babies, the tiniest of children, to the Lord Jesus for him to touch them, for him to bless them, for him to say a good word over their new life. In these short verses, we are really going to see something beautiful about the heart of God. We see something a little bit ugly about the heart of the average adult, however. So folks are bringing these babies to Jesus, and you notice how his disciples react. They rebuke the parents. It's a pretty harsh word. Pretty much, go away. Our rabbi, Jesus, is a pretty important guy, right? People gather around him. He's teaching the crowds. He has important adult things to do. Please take your children and go away. Come back later, some other time when he's not so busy. Doesn't this seem brutal? It's harsh. So one thing we need to, before I accuse the Jesus disciples too harshly, the world 2,000 years ago was a very different place. You know, wherever you go around the world, parents love their kids, right? We want to take care of our kids, nurture them. But in terms of how society values and honors kids, it's very different culture to culture, time to time, place to place. And 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire ruled this part of the world, and their social structure was a little bit different than ours. They had something I occasionally call the ladder of social dignity or social worth. And it pretty much worked like this. The Romans had an emperor, and he was at the top of the ladder of dignity. He even called himself a god. Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, all the Caesars. Just a couple rungs below the Caesars were those who had military power, the generals, the Roman senators, those with political sway. Just below them were the wealthy, those who owned land and property. Just below them were the average Roman citizens, and on and on and on and on. And at the very bottom of the Roman ladder of worth and social dignity were young kids. Okay, this was the air that everybody breathed. Like, everybody knew, well, we love our kids, but socially, they're the most worthless people around. We're not quite in the same place, right, in 2015 as Americans. But when the disciples say this word, take the little babies out of Jesus' presence, they are speaking not only for themselves, they are reflecting the view of the world they lived in. And everybody knew this. The emperor's at the top, babies are at the bottom. And probably honestly they thought, you know, what do babies add to civilization? Can they hold down a job? No. Can they talk? No. Can they work? No. Can they teach you something? Yes. According to Jesus, yes, they might be able to teach us something very profound. Things were so bad for babies 2,000 years ago that in the Roman Empire, if you had a child who was born prematurely, if you had a child who was born with a learning disability, a physical disability, a deformity, the practice in the Roman Empire was to leave that child at the side of the road and let nature take its course. It was a practice called exposure, and it happened all over the Roman world. Now, I have a nephew who's pretty far down the autism spectrum. I have a niece with Down syndrome. I'm so glad we live in 2015. Amen, anybody? And that it's not our practice to expose the least and the most frail and the most vulnerable in our midst. Thank God we live in a different world. And the reason we live in a different world is that we've had 2,000 years of Jesus' influence to work with. Instead of going the Roman way, Jesus proposes something else. Luke 18, verse 16. In contrast to his disciples, Jesus called the children, the babies, back to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom of Rome does not belong to these babies. Jesus says, in total contrast, flipping over the tables like he always does, Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to the babies. Okay, the kingdom of God is where God is in charge. Wherever he's in charge, wherever Jesus is the Lord, that's where the kingdom of God is. And Jesus is telling everybody, where I'm in charge, it works exactly the opposite. The ones who are on the bottom of the ladder of dignity get elevated to the very top. So sometimes we use terms like, I've been saved. I've been born again. Another way of saying that is, I have been brought into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is telling his disciples, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, if you want to know me, if you want to be saved, actually you don't need to be a better and better adult. You need to be like an infant. What is he talking about? If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we need to be more like an infant. Jesus is saying these tiny babies have something to offer all of us, something to teach all of us, even about the way to know God and the way to be saved. So what do babies have going for them? They're not high achievers, right? In a way, babies are very self-orientated, right? All they do is think about their needs. That's all they have at the beginning. What is it, how is it that we're supposed to imitate these infants? Happily, Jesus gives us the answer in the very next verse. Luke 18, verse 17. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. See the verb in the sentence? It's underlined. This is how we're supposed to be like infants in Jesus' opinion. It is to receive. Jesus is highlighting the fact that babies are the world's best receivers. They are professional receivers. Not the kind that run crossing routes in the NFL, right? Not those kind of receivers. They are receivers in that babies are the most wonderful acceptors of what you give them. Have you ever been around a hungry baby and held a bottle or a spoon up near their cheek? What do they do every time? They will open their mouth and start sucking. They are ready to drink. They are ready to eat. They're great at receiving. Some adults I know, I'm like, yeah, I'm hungry. I'm just not eating today. Or, I know I should eat good food, but I'm going to eat this instead. We're bad at receiving what's good for us. Babies are awesome. Have you ever been around a sleeping baby and picked it up and then put it to your shoulder? What does that baby do? It receives the gift of physical touch and kind of snuggles in their blanket and puts their head on your shoulder. And, you know, if you're a comfy and trusted person, that baby will fall asleep if they're tired enough almost instantaneously. Babies are great at this. Have you ever, with a really tiny baby, put your finger in the palm of an infant? A baby does what? Just instinctively, will wrap its tiny little hand around your finger as if it's welcoming your presence and your touch. And instinctively, it hooks onto you. Babies, in so many different ways, are the world's best receivers. They will not question, they will not complain. Is your finger too warm or too cold? Is this blanket too rough or too smooth? They will receive it and accept it. Jesus values these tiny children. Jesus, who himself was God and came down from the heights of heaven to the dirt and the muck of a manger and became a what? Jesus became what? A baby, a tiny baby, the lowest rung on the ladder. That's where Jesus went to save us. Jesus values children. And Jesus here is teaching his disciples and his church to value children. One of the first and best songs, Lord willing, that we still teach our kids is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Have you heard this word now today, church? Beautiful, beautiful. Maybe the most important thing happening in this room today is not here, right? Here we are, we're grown-ups. I'm breaking down a Bible text for you. We're using our brains and the rational part of us. Maybe the best and most beautiful thing, I'm pretty sure the best and most beautiful thing, is going on in children's worship and in the nursery right now. Sociologists tell us that 90% of how we view the world is wired into us by the time we're 3 years old. I only have 10% of your brain to work with this morning. Right? By the time we get adults, we can change, but oh, it's difficult in the steps. Little kids, they are receiving the entire input of the world all the time and learning. And I mean, the way God has designed our brains to be wired so quickly. And what is happening in the nursery right now is some of your kids are old enough to know, maybe on some deep level, it's Sunday and we're going to worship. And I get to go to this place where people hold me and care for me, and it's a safe place, and it's a good place. Maybe people even sing for me. And if by the time they're three, your children have this kind of deep assumption about what it's like to be part of the body of Christ, that there's people here who can be trusted and care for them, even though they're not their flesh and blood, but a spiritual family, that is the best and most beautiful thing that is going on in town on Sunday morning. I am privileged to serve a church that through our existence has really understood this part of God's heart. Okay, so in Elmhurst, we have this thing. If you go around the city of Elmhurst and ask anybody who doesn't go to church what they know about our church, Elmhurst Christian Reformed Church, they will say, that's the place where the preachers preach great sermons. No, they will not say that. They will not say, you know, that's the place that has the greatest music. They will say, that is the church where all the preschoolers go. That is what they will say. Every week, this has been going on for decades and decades, we have more than 400 preschoolers that come through our doors. Only about 100 of them are from our church. So, in a beautiful way, God has shared his heart with our little community and allows us to share this with our neighborhood. I'm going to tell you a quick story about how the church I serve came into being. Okay, it's a crazy story, and it will surprise you. About 90 years ago in the city of Chicago, there was a woman named Catherine Lubin, and she did not know God. She did not go to church. She got married, not because she wanted to, but because she had to. And two kids, and 10 years later, she and her husband were having a very difficult time. Her husband gambled frequently, drank too much, and on one particular evening, her husband was gambling and lost and lost and lost in poker, and ultimately, when he ran out of cash, he put his wife, Catherine, up for collateral on the poker table. I mean, not physically, but, you know, figuratively, right? And he lost. His wife was so fed up with him that she moved in with a guy who won her in poker. You still with me? This is how our church started. Eventually, Catherine and the man who won her in poker were married. She divorced the man who lost her. 80 years ago, this was not very socially acceptable. Okay? These two became Christians in their late 30s, and Catherine felt the call of God to start a church out of their two-bedroom bungalow in Bellwood. Okay? Her husband hoisted a steeple up onto the roof, and they started inviting the neighborhood kids, and they began a Sunday school. She received some training as a pastor at Moody. They started Sunday morning worship services, and this church became the Bellwood Gospel Tabernacle. It went that way for like 25 years. There's a few old-timers at Elmhurst Christian Reformed Church who were tiny children in that Sunday school, okay, who were cared for and taught and shepherded by Mrs. Catherine Van Tessman. The Bellwood Gospel Tabernacle became, when the Tessmans got old, Bellwood Christian Reformed Church. And Bellwood Christian Reformed Church became Elmhurst Christian Reformed Church. There is an unbroken chain through about 7 decades of that little church, which now has made a few moves, reaching out and trying to do all in our power to care for and teach the youngest of kids. Isn't that a surprising story? This is why we have an annual Vegas night at our church. No, no, we don't do that. We should do that. Honor our roots. So that's part of the particular story that I'm part of. But no matter what church, because the heart of God reaches out to small children, we all have to find our own unique way of serving the least of these, the small ones, the vulnerable. Right? That is a more important part of the picture than keeping us adults happy and entertained and satisfied. It's the heart of God beating right here in the scripture. Now, here's the good news for us people who are older. Right? We were all kids once. Now I'm old. No matter what your age, whether you are 8 or 18 or 38 or 82, we are all the children of God. You say amen here? We are all the children of God. So if you came in this room thinking of yourself and your adult problems and your adult achievements this morning, let yourself off the hook just for a second. Okay? In God's eyes, you are an infant in the kingdom of God. We have so much to learn. That's one way in which we are all infants. The thing about adults is, you know, by the time we have a job and we're trying to climb up, you know, our own ladder of social worth and dignity, in order to climb that ladder, you have to reach out and grab, and then grab for the next step, and then reach for the next promotion, or what's newer or bigger. And when you're reaching and grabbing, your hand is like this. And when your hands are like this, climbing that ladder, your hands are not like this. And this is the way that a professional receiver goes about life. God, what do you have for me? Where is your presence here? Where are you going to show up? How can I receive your grace even in this circumstance? You hear me on this? Adults, we're like this all the time. Babies, just ready to receive. There's so much as we grow older that we think we have to do for ourselves to make happen. And God, for sure, is pleased when we use our creative powers to reflect his goodness and creativity in the world. Not denying that. But the most important things that we need, our own forgiveness, being accepted, the transformation we know we need in the deepest parts of our spirit, none of that we can do for ourselves with our adult cleverness or strength or education. We cannot do the most important things we need. Only the grace of God can do this. It's especially beautiful to me when folks get old enough, accumulate enough years, that they get old enough and wise enough to become receptive like small children again. I mean, it's a different kind of receiving, because after a lifetime of being a probably hardworking and independent adult, when older folks become receivers again, they can also add to it a level of gratitude that infants can never express. And that makes it more beautiful. Now, lest you long to be this kind of older and wiser achiever or receiver, it comes at a great cost and a great price. I'm not there yet myself. I long for it, but the kind of life circumstances, sickness, loss, physical weakness, those are the things that teach us adult human beings how to be the kind of infant-like receivers God wants us to be again. And none of us sitting here want any of those things to come our way. Where I see this most beautifully is with folks who have dementia or Alzheimer's or who are in a memory loss unit. My own mom has had Alzheimer's for 12 years, and she's been beyond walking or talking for 2 years. But there's a couple things that she loves. If I'm with her, she was a great pianist. I will either play the piano for her, or I will sing her songs, and by the time I've done that for 10 or 15 minutes, something deep in her mind will warm up, and she will start humming along. She has no words, but the music is still in there. The other thing I will do for my mom is just lie beside her in bed and hug her. And when I do that, here's how she reacts. Her eyes aren't even open very often, but she will open her eyes and grin like a little kid and then start to chuckle. Like Santa Claus. I'm serious. About once a week, I will go with one of my colleagues to one of the nursing homes in our neighborhood. We usually do a little communion service. And at the end of those services in the memory loss units, instead of passing the peace of Christ or sharing a blessing like we do here, we share a blessing, but then we make sure to go around and hug with both arms every single person in the room. And almost universally, folks react like my mom does. People who have been sitting through, you know, that half-hour service in a wheelchair just like this, sleeping, you give them a two-armed hug, and they will sit up kind of straight, open their eyes, and just grin. An old woman remarked to me just this last week, she had not sung a word of the songs that, you know, that we had shared together. I hugged her, and she said a complete sentence. Okay, she said, "This is what we need more of here. We need love." Just look me deep in the eyes. Here are people that the world has written off, right? No longer able to work, many of them no longer able to communicate. But they are teaching us a beautiful way to receive, because everyone in that position is so ready to receive the gift of physical touch, starved for it, crying out for it. Oh, that we adults could be so wise. It's a good thing, church, that we get to come to Jesus' table this morning. Because at Jesus' table, we leave all our accomplishments behind. We leave our reputations behind. We leave our place in the world behind. We leave our status behind. We come as brothers and sisters, co-equals from all walks of life, all ages. Jesus has done it all. And our job, our opportunity, our invitation is simply to receive and remember and bless the name of the Lord as a result. Are you okay with this? Are you okay as a Christian being like a baby? Being wise like an infant? Are you okay knowing that the most important things that you need in this life and the life to come, you cannot do for yourself, but you need to receive like a small child on the shoulder of her mother? There's a beautiful verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, which gives an image of God and us as his children. It reads like this. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and in his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Church, God is giving us his voice. He is the strong parent, and we are the small children. God is giving us his protection. He is the mighty one. God is sharing with us his great delight, if you can feel it and receive it. And God is giving you his own melody sung over your life, which takes all of our sin, all of our error, all of our frustration, all of the ugliness of the world, and is going to make it beautiful, is making it beautiful. Lord, give us the wisdom to be childlike and baby wise enough to receive it and receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.